I retired in 2012. And I'm so grateful that God has planted me in this church. God has done such wonderful things. It's great to be a part of the flow of His Spirit in your life, visiting you now.
Amen.
And today I want to talk about something about prayer. Pray those desperate prayers and know that God will answer, hear, and answer your prayers. I pray the desperate prayer. Lord, save my newborn son. I pray the desperate prayer. Lord, I don't want to live like this. I pray the desperate prayer. Holy Spirit, guard my heart from bitterness and anger. I pray the desperate prayer. Lord, let me live long enough to see my three children graduate from high school. I pray the desperate prayer, Lord, protect my life from with the threat of this hell's angel. Lord, protect my life, or protect me with this desperate prayer. How am I going to support my family, my two kids at college, my daughter in third school, when I lost my job? I've been reflecting upon my prayer life, and I've been reflecting on those desperate prayers. And there, believe me, there are many more of those desperate prayers when I just had to cry out to God because it was so dark. And so the situation was so impossible. And my heart cried out in desperation to God. And every time, He heard my prayer and He answered my prayer. David in the Psalms affirms that, as he said in Psalms 34. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened, and He saved me from all my troubles. Isn't that just like the Lord? To love us so much, to care for us, that no matter what we face, He's always with us. As I looked at the Word of God, and I was studying this time together, my thoughts took me to the thief on the cross. If there was ever a desperate prayer, it was the thief on the cross who said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Those who were gathered in front were mocking Jesus, they were making fun of them. They were saying, "Well, if you're the Messiah, come down." The thief on the other side said, "If you're the Messiah, come down." But this thief on the cross said, "Don't you have any respect for God? We deserve what we're getting here today. This man has done nothing." And he turned to Jesus and he said, "Remember me when you come to your kingdom." I've had some thoughts that I hadn't really put together before, but it really is an amazing thing that this thief on the cross just confessed his sin. He said, "I deserve what I'm getting today." He confessed his sin. And though he knew he was going to die and Jesus was going to die momentarily, he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Come into your kingdom? He was proclaiming the Messiah because he knew that even though Jesus would die, he would reign and come into his kingdom. That day, Jesus heard the cry in his desperate prayer, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He believed in eternal life, which we have been the news of that day as well. Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Pray those desperate prayers and know that God is listening and He will answer the prayer of the desperation of your heart. Richard was 42 years of age. Richard had everything. He had a beautiful wife. He had beautiful children. We have all the sports cars. He had all the toys. He owned a home in Boca Raton, Florida, which was not a cheap place to live. He had everything. He was a successful businessman, a salesman, a
probably multimillionaire. But I received the call on a Saturday morning, and I didn't know Richard. I answered the call, and he just happened to be in my office. And he said, are you a pastor? I said, yes. He said, well, I've called 3 churches, and no one's there, and I need to talk to a pastor. You see, Richard had everything except you could diagnose with cancer and only give her a few weeks, maybe a couple of months to live. But as he shared his story, he was desperate for more than just healing. He said, I knew the Lord 25 years ago and I turned my back on him and I'm not sure he'll forgive me, but I need someone to pray with him today. He was desperate. Richard prayed that prayer, that desperate prayer, and God heard his prayer and he answered his prayer. And he forgave him. His mercy, his love, his compassion was poured out upon Richard. And Richard became a new man. He didn't look back. He followed the Lord to the very end. He read his Bible, he prayed, and he shared with everybody that he could about this new life that he found in Christ through his forgiveness for his grace. Richard was in and out of the hospital many times with strokes, and I was called every time that Richard's back in the hospital. I'd rub, and I would come into his room, and I would share some scripture and inspiration, and I'd pray with him. Toward the end, I received a call. He was back in the hospital. And on my way to the hospital, I was praying, Lord, what am I going to say that I haven't already said? What do you want me to do or to say that will encourage him, that will inspire him in this darn moment? And I had nothing. In the parking lot, I walked into the lobby and I said, Lord, I need you to tell me. What can I say? Bring the scripture to my mind. And my mind was blank. I was afraid that this prayer didn't. I was going up into the elevator and I had nothing. I was going down the hallway and nothing. I stood for a moment outside in the hallway. I just didn't have anything to say. I walked into the room and Richard was propped up in his bed as he was drooling down from the stroke. And he looked at me with life in his eyes. And Richard said, Milo, I'm in a no-lose situation. Aren't I? And I said, Richard, because I knew what he was meaning, sir, be out. For if life would be extended just a few more days or weeks, he was in a winning situation. But he knew that the Lord had heard his prayer. And he knew that if this was the end, then today he would be with him in marriage. I really come to believe and understand that the sign of the maturity of our faith is when we could come to the point and say, when we face desperate and difficult times, where it's unknown, where it's impossible, where it's pressing upon us, when we can say, because we have the faith in God, I'm in a no-lose situation. Okay. Acts 76. I know I don't look. Oh, you are. I'm 76, and I think, well, how many more Christmases do I have? How many more this? How many more do I have? It's not really a morbid thought. Because I know that when my time comes, I will be able to say, I'm going to endure this situation, and I'll hear that soft voice that will say, Milo, today you will be with me in paradise. That is the hope. That is the power. That is the confidence of the Christian faith we have in Jesus. Pray those desperate prayers. Pray those desperate prayers. Cry out with all of your heart and know that God will hear and answer your prayer. David said, I love the Lord,
because He hears my prayers. He hears my voice. And that's why I love the Lord today as well.
We're going to have our private time of prayer, and I'd like for you to think about perhaps the desperate prayers. Reflect back to the desperate prayers that you prayed, and how God has made Himself known and answered those prayers. I'd like for you perhaps to reflect on your faith, the strength of your faith, that God would grow His faith in you to the point where you would be able to say, Lord, I'm in a no-lose situation, aren't I?
You pray.
Lord, we thank You for these moments that we share together. We're thankful for Your Holy Spirit that moves in our midst and in our hearts and in our minds and reveals truth that challenges us, that stretches us, that inspires us. I pray, Lord, that our faith would grow, that people would see the strength of that faith within us as we face the challenges of life with confidence and assurance that we're in a no-lose situation, far different from those who do not know You. Lord, thank You. Thank You for our church that brings us to the altar of prayer in these 21 days of prayer to express our confidence and our trust and our faith in You. In Jesus' name, amen.